This is the Q Report. I'm Patrick Martins.
And I'm Gabe Rosner.
We are brought to you today by Paradise Locker Meats, the slaughterhouse that supplies all the pork and pork products for Roberta's restaurant.
Delicious.
And it's funny that they chose Paradise as the final resting place name for all those pigs and cows that they slaughter each week. So how's your week been, Gabe? I haven't seen you that much.
It's been a great week. You know, busy week at my
new motorcycle.
City job. New motorcycle.
What kind is it?
It's a BMW.
So you're not into the whole Harley Buy American thing?
You know, I'm on a budget.
Harleys cost a lot?
Yeah.
It's like a local piece of fruit. It's like raised domestically.
I was really going for reliability on this one. I have some trips worked out.
How far do you go comfortably on a motorcycle? Like, you know, upstate New York?
All day. I'm going down to North Carolina pretty soon.
Really? On the bike? Uh-huh. 95, that's not a good highway.
No, we're taking 81.
Cool. Well, there's some activities, of course. As people know, the Q Report stands for the Quotidian Report, and we're here at the lovely Roberta's Restaurant, which has some bands coming on later. Gabe, do you know about these three
band
names?
I don't. I know Love is Laughter is playing. One of our former dishwashers.
Really?
His band is playing. Love is Laughter. Of course, there's a whole pig being served.
And that
being
pig has had quite a history.
About 2 feet from where we're sitting right now.
You guys have a great luau reputation here.
Absolutely. This is our second one this week.
Very good. So, and then there's going to be some contests, right?
There's three competitions all involving competitive drinking.
And I love the way you created rafters out of your benches. I mean,
it's
your
great,
guys'
right?
ability to build stuff on a dime is, you know, unprecedented. Well, we have three very interesting guests today, and this is about new shows, new changes at Heritage Radio. So we're going to start off with Nicole Taylor, who has a show coming out called Hot Grease. Then Kathy Irway is going to talk about her new Heritage Radio Network show called Not Eating Out in New York. No, wait. Kathy can talk. That's your blog. And the show name?
It's going to be called Cheap Date.
Cheap Date. Got it. And then we're actually going to pull Rec Tech, Jack Inslee, and Nat Wiener, the engineer, into studio for a State of the Union on air.
How exciting.
Yeah, they're going to talk about their new shows. And so this is really a Q Report that looks to the future. Future quotidian experiences. So I guess let's just go into it. Nicole, thanks so much for coming here on a Sunday.
Thank you for having me, Patrick.
We're very excited about Hot Grease. Tell our listeners out there what they're going to experience when they listen to Hot Grease.
Well, first of all, we're going to bring satisfying tidbits of food culture. And my whole idea behind the show is to bring real conversations from everyday people. Navigating our food system, and to have weekly conversations or interview tastemakers, chefs, celebrities, a bunch of people, but just to give it a very everyday feel. It doesn't feel so the conversations and the interview and the show doesn't feel so one way into the sustainable food world.
Right. I mean, you tried to take kind of global, political, you know, very holistic thinking about everything behind the food that you eat. Is that right?
Right. I have this. My husband gave me this great quote saying there's more than one way to get to. When I was in Atlanta, more than one way to get to Lenox Mall. So I changed it when I came to New York and said, there's more than one way to get to Central Park, meaning, you know, there are all types of people in the world, in New York City, in Georgia, in San Francisco, and people are going to come to the whole sustainable movement in different ways. Unfortunately, I'm not a big Walmart person, but the reality of it is in middle America or my small town in Athens, Georgia, people shop there. So why not have a conversation about how you can live a sustainable life and you even have to shop at some places other people don't see as desirable? So that's kind of the whole approach.
Wow. Athens, Georgia, by the way, I just heard. I'd like to come back and talk more about the show, but I love that town. It's a huge music town,
totally.
Right?
Totally.
Like, unbelievable.
B-52s, Widespread Panic, R.E.M.,
yeah, R.E.M. guy lives there, I think.
Oh, yeah, Michael Stipe. I remember being in high school and going to this place, Taco Stand. It's a great little local spot, and seeing him in there, and I'll be like, wow, Michael Stipes. Yeah. It's cool.
And there's this really good restaurant down there called Farm 255.
Haven't checked it out. Farm 255. And I think, is that the same guy that owns 5 and 10?
No, 5 and 10 is that guy, Hugh. That's a really good restaurant.
Yeah. They both opened like after I left Athens, but I'm familiar with where both of them are. I think there's a bar next to Farm 255. I'm not sure.
So what were some of the seminal food experiences you had growing up in the South that still to this day, you know, stick with you and kind of affect what you do and the way you think?
I like the pig roasting. That was amazing. Just here at Roberta's, I think there's an event Gabe was talking about earlier, and just going out and seeing the pig roasting. I remember, you know, Labor Day, 4th of July, going to a cousin's house, and they would have a big open pit and roasting a pig. Back then, I thought, oh my gosh, that is so disgusting. But now, it's like, wow. I mean, we don't do that anymore. My family doesn't do that anymore. A lot of people in the South is kind of looked upon as, you know, I don't know. But folks don't do that. That's one of the huge experiences.
Definitely so, doesn't happen out here too often. There's not a lot of places where you can get away with it.
Right.
In New York.
So, and also too, I think a very cool experience. I remember I grew up in a working middle class neighborhood in Athens. So there are tons of different people in my neighborhood. Teachers, city council people, you know, just working class folks. And everybody had a garden. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just another one of the things in the South. It was just like a mainstay. You have a garden in the backyard.
Well, one of the things that this network is trying to give a lot of attention to is this whole urban gardening movement. Because if you think about every empty lot in America, in the cities.
And rooftops.
Rooftops. That's as much farmland as there is. I'm convinced they'll be amazed at how much acreage there is just like in Bushwick. If they would allow people to grow on it. And
it's not just a matter of allowing, but it's a matter of, you know, subsidizing the funding. It costs a lot to turn that emptiness into something useful, you know?
100%. So I see here, I like that you do call yourself a food culturalist.
Yes.
I like that.
So word. I need to identify myself as something. Before I moved to New York, I've been here probably over a year, about 16 months. And in Atlanta, I owned a small internet-based gourmet chocolate company. So when I moved here, I was like, okay, I just kind of want to do all things food, be it olive oil, be it chocolate, be it beers. So I just came up with this thing, food culturist. So there you have it.
That's very nice. I mean, I don't think I'd heard that before, but it made perfect sense.
It does.
Well, that's amazing. And so what are some of your first shows going to be? I mean, do you have any lineup? Because everyone wants to know. The world wants to know.
The world wants to know, Patrick. Ooh.
Well, listen, that's beautiful. This radio can be listened to anywhere in the world. It's true. Just log on to the web.
Yeah, I was totally psyched when I saw Steve Jenkins earlier. I should have brought my book.
He's a hero. I mean, I said this on the last show. You know, a lot of times people think what they're doing is so fantastic because they've carved out one little niche of a thing, and then you meet a guy like that who 35 years ago was just like starting local supplies, you know, bringing in the first French cheeses, the first olive oil, selling them at a market on the Upper West Side. I mean, real groundbreaking stuff, that guy.
So the shows that we have coming up, or the guest on there, we're going to do the dairy show. There's a great guy, Michael. He has a video blog, and he's doing all stuff dairy. So he's highlighted like a few folks that are doing milk, upstate, ice cream in the city. So he's going to be on the show, the first show, actually. I have a great modern etiquette expert from Atlanta, and she's going to be talking.
How is Gabe's posture right now?
Terrible.
I'm worried about him.
I think he's hot.
I'm hot.
He's a little hot, huh?
Oh, turn the tide to looking at me now. Hey, how come we can't get AC in here? Actually, the key, this is a very secure building, and one of the keys is missing, so that's going to stay locked. Normally, we could turn the AC on. Gabe's like, oh my God, what's this in my pocket? Oh, I have the key.
He's looking hot and cool, though.
Yeah, he looks cool. He never looks too frenzied. Who else do you have?
I have, so she's going to come on and talk, the social etiquette expert. She's going to talk about what do you do when you go to a party and you're vegetarian and there's no food there.
That's a hard one.
So stuff like that. I think that would be a really cool show for people in the sustainable movement. And
I say let's tackle that on HRN. Can we do a preview of what I would do instinctively?
Yeah, and then you
can
go right ahead.
I would secretly take a quick look in the fridge and then close it and just do a quick survey. I know this is probably just not going to be just a spot check to see if it's even worth doing the next thing, which would then be going up to her and say, I notice, do you have any tomatoes? Oh, really? And some sea salt? Could I just go make a little thing? Cause I'm a, and that way you've like formed your own solution rather than cause stress to the host and your person who invited you, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting topic because some people feel like, and how to, if you are, say you don't eat pork, right? Uh-huh. So how do you tell someone, yeah, you're having a, you're roasting a whole pig, but I don't eat that. What do you say to someone, seriously, if you're going to a dinner party and you know they're having pork roast?
Well, the thing is, if they're, this is usually, I think, an interaction reserved for first or second encounters because good friends doesn't happen. They'll know that about each other. So I say you don't have enough vested interest or baggage in those people anyway. You know, you could just be like, dude, I want something to eat, or I'm going to order a slice of pizza. Don't worry. I'm, you know, I don't know. But
yeah, it's a very interesting topic.
It's very interesting. It's endless.
So, along with her, we're actually going to have Judith Winfrey. She's part of Slow Food Atlanta. She's actually a farmer, Love is Love Farm.
And Julie Schaefer is the Convivium leader of Slow Food Atlanta. Yeah. And I think they've worked together for years.
Yeah, and they're having a big thing tomorrow at Piedmont Park. And I think the current president of Slow Food, Josh
Vertel.
Right, he's going to be there in Atlanta. So, she's going to be on the show. Who else? Brooklyn, Brownstone Books. Going to have her come in talking about cookbooks, top sustainable cookbooks, and her bookstore that's in Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn. And have this great segment that I've come up with called Hot Five, where we have just everyday people coming in giving a quick rundown of things on fire in the good food movement. Oh. So we'll have,
Like it. Did you tag that, Jack? Good. That's a good one.
So we'll have a local Harlem resident kind of come in and do her Hot Five rundown of sustainable spots up in Harlem. So I'm really excited. So quite a few guests and already lined up.
I've I won't say it. After it happens, this thing that I have, I might have to go down to D.C. for a little bit. And I'm hoping that could lead to such good news that I would come back and have a hot spot segment. But until then, anything less than the White House is not a top five. Hot five. You're just like, sorry, Pat, you're on your own. Well, we're going to take a 30-second break. And then, Nicole, please stay if you can, because we want to create a more conversation. But we're going to talk about another show called Cheap Date. We'll be right back. If it's Sunday, it's the Q Report. So if it's Sunday, it's the Q Report, and we are here talking about new shows. We are sponsored to you by Paradise Locker Meats, who very generously took out a sponsorship. You know, butchering is not the most profitable, you know, work in the world, and yet they still, you know, believed in this network enough to give it some support. So we want to thank Paradise Locker Meats. Gabe, or any of our listeners, if you have any friends with cows or pigs that need butchering,
I'll be sure to point them in that direction.
Yeah, they're a great family run. It has to be blinking. Oh, there we go. Sound effect. Oh, what an intro. Your show is going to be great. I can tell already. This is Kathy Irway, who's doing a show on Heritage Radio Network. We're honored to have her, and that show is called Cheap Date.
Cool. I can't wait. This is actually all very quick to me. It was in a funny reversal of events, Patrick. I was actually going to call you last week to interview for this article I was going to do on Heritage Breeds. And no, here
this
I am
is
now.
Much better.
This is, yeah,
you
this
doing
is
your own
all
show
very
is much
spontaneous.
Better.
So awesome. And also another hip hip hooray for pig roasting, which we're doing today here, or you guys are doing today, not me, but it's a funny phenomenon. Like Nicole was saying, like people just, you know, are not familiar with it. It's something that's archaic, but they're happening more and more. So last week I actually had a pig roast with my supper club called the Hoppa Kitchen. So
where did you do that?
It was at Brooklyn Yard by the Gowanus. Mm-hmm. And it was actually co-hosted by our friends from the show Snacky Tunes. So all in the community.
Look at that.
But yeah.
Very small world, Snacky Tunes. That's on Mondays at 2.
And when is your show, Kathy?
I don't know. We have yet to
discuss. And Nicole,
that.
do you know when your schedule is now?
Every Monday, 3:30, following Snacky Tunes.
There you go.
So that's a good show to follow, and everyone is welcome to come to Roberta's and watch the show as it airs. Radio is very, very, very interactive.
Absolutely.
We wave to people. We comment on their etiquette. Oh, could
we
you do
calls.
The etiquette? Could you do the etiquette of the people at Roberta's sure. when that lady comes?
Yeah, we need to do that, huh?
That would be fun.
Make sure What's they tip. This?
And they sign a release.
Totally.
So anyway, tell us about this show, Cheap Date. What is your goal? Is to relieve the weight of the man's shoulders to have to invest so much in girls on the first dates?
Well, hey, it goes both ways, right? Guys and girls. But no, I mean, so I write a blog called Not Eating Out in New York. And in my recipes, tips, I'm always trying to provide something that's useful, helpful for home cooks. What's, you know, I like to talk about what's economical, what's environmentally friendly, what's humane, sustainable. But everyone always asks me this question. So what do you do on a date? I'm like, okay. So there must be like, you know, this huge curiosity about how do you cook at home? So what we want to do is, or what I want to do, I guess, is answer questions from callers, have a different fun guest who might have something, some side of the story to share each week. And it's obviously a very broad, there's not like a cut and dry answer to how do you date when you're not eating out. So cooking related advice, dating related advice, a little bit of everything. So
very, very interesting. What is the cheapest meal you've ever made?
Actually,
it still like qualifies as a meal and will be the jury as to whether or not it's a meal. Like you can't cornflakes. I'm like, doesn't count.
So the inspiration for the show was because I was actually asked by a newspaper once to create a date meal for under $15. And that had to include a bottle of wine and all the meal for two people. And they were like, I don't think you can do this. Nah, that's not going to happen. But I ended up doing it for less than $12. So the total was like 11 something.
With the bottle of wine.
With the bottle of wine. And also with everything like, you know, I used pasteurized turkey from the green market, and so there was meat, and there was dessert, and there's
the whole thing using the lesser cuts, right?
People making I use turkey legs, you know,
like, trotters, yeah, turkey legs. That's a good dark
it's
meat,
fine.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's like, you know, nice dark meat. Why not?
It's amazing that we've been like programmed to only want the white breast meat. You know, like
it's like Burger we forgot
King.
About it too.
Burger King is like white meat only. I'm like, oh my God, that must suck for the farmers to hear that, you know, to only get white meat.
That's led to...
But at Burger King, don't they just grow all white meat turkeys somehow?
Oh yeah, that's right. We have a sound effect for that. Monoculture chicken. Well, rooster, I guess.
There's a baby sheep crying. Close enough.
Close enough.
That's funny. I think maybe you should do a second show, which is just you on the sound effects board. No, it's very interesting. I mean, has food gotten more expensive or has it gotten cheaper? Like, what's the whole, like, are we spending less money than we used to eat or more?
Food prices have risen in the last year, as you probably all have heard from recession, you know, all these statistics. It's harder for farms, conventional or small farms, to make a profit because all other ingredients are just, you know, raw ingredients, base ingredients are all rising. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, the bottom line is when you cook, it's a lot cheaper than when you go out to eat. So a lot of people, I think, are getting back into the kitchens and are quite, you know, not always quite sure what to do. They're a little uncomfortable. There's like a lot of
Julia
questions.
And Julia.
Sure, yeah.
She was a little,
I mean,
uncomfortable.
There's...
I didn't see the movie, but I heard she was very uncomfortable.
Julie Powell's
character?
Yeah. Well, that was a different thing. Like, she was on this crazy, like, this really fun, like, kind of one-sided track to make every recipe out of that book, which is super awesome. I mean, I commend that. But, a lot of normal people are coming up to me and saying, you know, I'm trying to cook a lot more now, but what do you do with, I don't know, like a turkey leg or something? Or like an artichoke. That's really tough. You have to like actually peel it, steam it, soften it, get the heart out, you know. There's a lot of work.
You know. Well, Michael Pollan wrote that big Sunday Times Magazine piece about calling people to go back to their kitchens. I was actually thinking the opposite, that with now fast food being super cheap, you know, and good. I mean, some of these slow food concepts are starting to be franchised.
I don't know what fast food you're eating.
No, but... Well, you know, the what's that?
Maybe Chipotle.
But also kebab stands and, you know, things. I mean, you can't, street food can sometimes be sustainable. And like Mama Fuko Sambar, you can get a wrap for $7. That could feed you lunch with, you know, I think food is becoming a little more democratic in that we are returning it. Not on a national level. I just say, I think there's a growing movement of...
We're pretty spoiled here in New York.
True. I'm born and raised in New York. What was your experience like, Gabe?
I mean, I grew up in New Mexico, and you know, your fast food options, if that's what you want to call them, are limited to, you know, the big, you know, next to the freeway names that you see all the time.
And were there any mom and pop joints that still?
I mean, there are plenty, but they're not, you know, cheap and fast.
You know? It's interesting. I mean, I would love to see, no one has done it yet, but some of these successful chefs or marketers are to create, like, open 50 franchises of a place around America. Like, it's bound to happen. It's just a matter of who does it and when. Mm-hmm. Ted Turner claimed he was going to open 500 bison restaurants.
Really?
He couldn't do it, but it was cool that he declared it. Ted Turner, actually, one last thing about him. I'm a big fan of Ted Turner. He is... bought so much land that he has recreated the traditional bison runs.
Wow.
From Montana down to New Mexico. He just bought up the land over 50 years to be able to do that. Does he have a positive or negative energy in Atlanta?
Oh, people love Ted Turner in Atlanta. Oh my gosh. Him and his ex, Jane Fonda?
Yeah.
I love Ted's. I like Ted's. I mean, one of the first restaurants with, you know, sustainable straws. The straws are like the bomb.
And who were your greatest sports heroes? Was it did you have like Willie? I mean, who are the fathers, the mothers of Atlanta, like the most popular people? I'm trying to think. Ted Turner for sure. Hank Aaron, I think.
Yeah,
didn't
Hank
he?
Aaron. I mean, he's really looked at. And also Arthur Blank, Home Depot. People love him there. He does a lot with the environment. His foundation does a lot of great work with parks and open space in Atlanta. They really love him.
And now Chipper Jones, I guess. Atlanta, in baseball, they never managed to win the World Series. They did a couple of times, but they have a really good coach, but they never come over the hump. I'm a big fan of Atlanta. They call it the queen city of the South. Is that right?
I don't know. The city too busy to hate. That's one of the mottos.
I like that.
Wait, what's that sign?
Michael Vick.
Oh, Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. I believe in second chances, okay? Uh-huh. I mean, I have a dog. I think it was very crazy what he did with the dogs, but I mean, give him a second chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's going to create his own second chance because he's still really talented.
Exactly. I mean, give him a second chance. Maybe Michael Vick or someone. They need to get behind the sustainable food movement. How can we do that?
It would be really interesting. Man, you know, I have always saw one sports personality coming down to our level of like a bunch of organic gardeners, like sustainable food people. Man, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't it be huge for everyday people like a Michael Vick or something?
Or, you know, Jay-Z, I know he was involved with the Nets. Like, if they ever do open here and when they're thinking about their concessions and who's going to sell to them.
I'm sure Jay-Z has a chef that's giving him organic, probably even a heritage turkey at Thanksgiving. He needs to really, really be talking about that.
Bring good food to the people. Sound effect. No, I'm kidding. We just... Oh, no, thanks.
Well, that was short-lived.
You have to hold it down.
So we are going to take a break, and then you ladies are welcome to stay, but we're actually, I guess, not going to be engineered or produced during this interview. It'll be the first time ever. We're going to have Jack and Nat come and talk about the state of the network.
Records that get played from our own disco, which we call Sound System. Sound System has done miracles, 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 miracles,
acetates.
This is the Q Report. We like to say if it's Sunday, it's the Q Report.
Or the main course.
Or the main course. Or
Cutting the Curd.
Or
the Mr. Cutlet Show.
Or
the Caffeine Stream.
Wow, our Sundays are blowing up.
Or a bikini keg stand contest.
Well, oh yes, that's happening at Roberta's later, but we'll save that for the 7th minute of this 8-minute interview. So we are now in studio with Jack Inslee, who is our one of the producers on the network, and then we have Nat Wiener, who is also known as Rec Tech.
That's right.
And he is going, these guys are very, very good. And one of the bits of news that I want to talk before I open it up to you guys is, Jack, one thing I'm excited that you're working on is a best of 50 minute and 27 minute, or, you know, if it needs to be, but no, what is it, 27 minute?
Yeah, roughly about 27 minutes, sort of a half hour weekly recap of the best moments on radio, sort of cut up in a little audio file, so you don't have to listen to every show, you can just catch the best little segments.
And over the course of a week or the course of a couple of weeks or month, you know, you'll get a flavor of all that's happening on the Heritage Network. Because basically we have too many shows.
No, absolutely.
People can't listen this much. So, that best of will be really great, and it'll be downloadable. Of course, we're now on iTunes. And
big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Anything? Big deal. So tell us what that means for anyone older than 40 out there.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what that means. You take one of our shows, say, for instance, this, The Q Report, and you put it on your iTunes player, which is pretty popular. A lot of people like iTunes. And every week, it'll download, drop into your computer the new episode of The Q Report without having to go to heritageradionetwork.com and click stream.
Don't be so happy not to have to go to our website. Damn. You're like, thank God.
And I mean, even for those who didn't understand any of that, it just go to iTunes and search for your show that you're looking for. You can just simply search The Main Course in the iTunes store, and you'll find Patrick's beautiful face right there.
We'll be making the link to the podcast on iTunes available on heritageradionetwork.com. Right. So our loyal listeners who've been with us since April can click that and have the convenience of iTunes podcasting.
No, that's fantastic. Ooh, what's that one?
Hachi Machi.
There we go.
Very good.
That's my biggest contribution to the station so far.
I'm going to go put Gabe's mic on one moment.
Okay, so in the meantime, Jack, tell us how you came to the network. I mean, we met through Nat, did we not?
We did, yeah. Heather met Nat through, I guess she asked NYU for a radio guy. They handed her Nat, and me and Nat actually attended the same program at NYU, Music Technology. And we've been producing music together for the past few years.
How did you guys meet? Were you like roommates?
No, it's school. The same program in
did
school.
Your professor
Which school was that?
NYU. Yeah.
New York University.
Actually,
that NYU.
The first thing me and Nat did was, what was it? It was a project with a trumpet and an accordion. Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
The first thing we did was, it was Stereo Imaging 101, and we had an accordion and trumpet. And we had various different microphone pairs, and we tested them out.
You guys are like the next Rick Rubens and Russell Simmons, I guess.
C-. Right? We got a C- on that.
Fantastic.
Damn it. Teachers, they don't know anything.
They don't understand true genius.
Einstein failed, too. I mean, in that, those levels.
I get compared to Einstein a lot. I'm Jewish.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's very exciting. So, Nat, what drew you to radio? You kind of grew up in a more of a radio background. That wasn't just something you learned about in college, was it?
Well, when I was younger, my dad had a radio show on the little NPR affiliate where I lived in Pennsylvania. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, what up? I love the sound of my own voice. And
now if only you could find a woman who could tolerate it, too. Then you would have everything in the world.
That's right.
No, I didn't mean that in a bad way. That was actually a Warren Beatty thing. He says, God's greatest gift to man is that he can tolerate the sound of his own voice. And the second greatest gift is that someone else can tolerate it with him. Anyway, sorry.
So basically, I've been making music since I was little, and I started DJing it, and I got a radio show on the illustrious and always wonderful WNYU 89.1 FM.
Yeah.
And I've been there for a number of years, and then I was the engineering director, and then Heather emailed me
which she actually sent me that original email the other day, and it's quite funny to read.
How, well, what did that email say?
It was like, good evening. My name is Heather Hyman. It was
good evening.
It was more along the lines of that.
How dramatic. She's like, look how late I'm working.
We are going to have a very informal radio station, and it will be broadcasting on AM radio.
Really?
So, yeah, that was the original plan. Yeah, wow. Is illegal. Anyway,
pirate radio.
Yeah, that didn't work out, no. But... here we are, and this is much better, I think.
I thought you guys were nuts when we first met. I mean, it sounded crazy.
I still think that, yeah.
But it was a pretty crazy idea when we first heard it, but here we are.
And has it progressed the way you guys have liked? I mean, where do you guys see, since from the engineering and producing perspective, you have such a close lens to the network, where do you see it in 5 or 10 years?
Oof. Well,
I'd like it to be room temperature in here in 5 years.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Maybe a bigger food budget for us. That would be nice in 5 years.
God, can you get the... Where were those people with torches outside Frankenstein's house? Whoa!
Angry mob.
It's actually progressed quicker than I thought originally.
We have a lot of shows coming. We do. Especially in the next couple of weeks, we're going to literally, like, you know, at first it was, we were growing kind of slow, and we've kind of doubled what was our original batch of shows in the next couple of weeks.
It's absolutely. Pretty,
tell
yeah.
us about some of these. You have a very interesting new show with Bernie Wides. Tell us about that. That's very exciting.
A sort of a marine scientist sort of guy from the Natural History Museum. He volunteers there, and he wants to do this show about anything from barnacles to butterflies and phytoplankton and all kinds of crazy things in the ocean.
And he's going to do a few minutes on each one of these things to do a real...
You know, it's funny. When I met with him, he asked what time his show would be broadcasting, and I asked why that was important, and he said, well, I want to do this show on barnacles, but it's about barnacles having sex, and it's about long penises and all this stuff. He goes, so it can't broadcast during a time where children might listen.
Oh, Lord. You guys are going to have to come in at 1 a.m. now.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, tomorrow, BTW, tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Hi, this is Moby, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
That's a big deal, too.
People are wondering how we got that. Right. How did we get that?
That was Greg and Darren of Snacky Tunes, Finger on the Pulse, who have been some of the most dedicated and organized hosts we've had here. Really happy to have them.
For sure.
And that came through Brandon Hoy, actually. They used to DJ for him.
If that was a backsided comment to me for filling out the show schedule on a piece of used toilet paper once, I resent that. It was not used. It fell while I was riding my bike.
You make up for it with your sound effects, though.
Thank you. Yeah. So we have shows coming up. I mean, where do you see? I mean, try to wrap. I know it's a big question, but where do you hope to see this place?
I know we're both excited about eventually having 24-hour streaming content. I think that's
24-hour streaming. We're gonna have our individual shows be household names. So maybe in the next year, HRN might not be a household name. Someone like Erica Wides on Why We Cook is everywhere, and by proxy, we benefit from the wonderful shows we have on the Heritage Radio Network.
100%. Yeah, no, it's about, and you know, iTunes and that whole downloading thing is a big step in that direction. We've now given people the tools for us to market ourselves.
And in 10 years, I see you taking over Leno's spot, maybe, you know, getting on TV.
I would never take that 10 p.m. slot. I can't believe that was not, that was absurd. A weird NBC move.
Yeah, no, I'm not down with that.
Although, you know, there used to be a real cool show in the 70s called Real People, where there were like 8 guys, this guy like Brian Adams, and there were these people that just went and studied like unusual things for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, they would go... And maybe Jay's going to do that. I mean, that's kind of almost like variety show, closer to Cal Burnett than...
Yeah.
I'm sure he's listening right now, so he's probably taking these notes.
I'm sure. Who's not listening right now? What do you guys think about the new studio dynamic?
Do we have a sound effect for that?
Oh, no.
Hi, this is Moby, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, it's as good as Moby is? Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Patrick.
That's the whining I'm going to have to hear from you guys.
Exactly.
This week.
Patrick came in this morning and he was like, you know what? I've had many years of experience in radio. I'm going to use that knowledge to redesign the studio in about half an hour. And
I also had to clean this place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just as many flies, but now there's cables everywhere also.
Dude, that is not true. I killed like 40 flies, but I let 4 or 5 of them survive because I'm not
you're a
like
Buddhist.
Hitler.
Right.
I mean, I want to be able to be happy, but... Absolutely. I'm like Rabelais, and
you need to get rid of all the flies,
Rablaisian.
Patrick, so none of them can tell the story of how brutally you killed all of them.
I know. Well, no, they can tell the story, you know, and I think they appreciate me. They probably have more room anyway.
That's heritage, them telling that story.
Exactly. I am going to be honest, though. Sitting here as a guest, I do have a different perspective on this new setup, for sure.
I get to watch this guy out there with no sleeves. That's nice.
Right.
It is pretty exciting.
It is kind of does open.
He's got really nice arms. Yeah.
So now Francesca is no longer working at Roberta's.
Has gone to art school at Yale, getting her MFA from Yale.
Unbelievable. And that's a sad loss, but good for her. And then around the corner, I see you guys are selling sandwiches at the local art gallery.
I'm not sure how many days a week it's happening yet, but there's a gallery around the corner called Eastern District that we are now, we have a satellite sandwich shop at least 3 days a week during the weekends.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, guys, you guys should be back every now and then, because I think probably listeners could appreciate through your words better than anyone else's. You know, things that are upcoming, but 24, I don't only want 24/7 content. I mean, 24/7 playing. I want
reruns, right?
No, I want all live.
Well, yeah. Graveyard shift producers. I like that idea.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
All right. Sorry, you have to keep prime time. You can't delegate that yet. All right, guys. Well, thanks. And cool. We're going to come back with our last segment. Yeah. Gabe, we're doing a call-in with Liza, who now runs A16, which is where Nate Appelman used to work. And now he's opening the Keith McNally Pizza Place. Keith McNally's big. It'll be like the Balthazar Pizza. This is Liza, who is keeping the flame alive at, you know, what she and Nate created at A16, which is pretty cool.
After this break.
So, what we like to say is, if it's Sunday, it's the Q Report.
Quotidian, for those who don't know.
Yeah, quotidian means like everyday, mundane. Like, I almost felt like today was like a regular Sunday. Like, three people at Roberta's, this is probably not too much unlike what they would be talking about if they were sitting out there either.
Absolutely.
Very, very, very cool. So, yeah, we have two new shows, but three new shows, actually, or four. Four new shows. Very, very, very exciting. And I want to thank Nat and Jack for all that they do. Especially, they keep this place clean and efficient. With more emphasis on efficient. So, anyway, we have
a caller on the line,
right? A caller on the line. Liza's like, shut up, Patrick. It's 9 a.m. in San Francisco. Oh, my God. You're already at the restaurant, Liza?
Are you kidding? Yes.
I imagine every day, all day.
Almost every day.
Well, why? I mean, because you guys are not the traditional restaurant. You are founded. This is A16 Restaurant in San Francisco on a kind of whole animal. You're constantly curing stuff, aging things. I mean, it's not just open, serve people, and close, right?
It's a lot more than that, I like to think.
And tell us what you do. I mean, do you bring in whole pigs and whole cows?
You know we bring in whole pigs, Patrick, because we get them from you.
By the way, your invoice 399743 is over. No.
I doubt it, but if that's true,
I know.
Let me
you
know.
Guys are the best payers. It's unbelievable. But tell me about this whole idea of whole animal use. Like, where is it? I mean, or tell us about A16. What's the food there for people who haven't been there yet?
For those of you who haven't been here, A16 is a highway, an autostrada that runs through southern Italy from Napoli in Campania to Bari in Puglia. And we take our inspiration from the food of that area. More importantly, just rustic, pretty authentic as much as possible southern Italian food, using, you know, what we have available in California, which is a lot, luckily. As far as the whole animal thing goes, you know, most chefs you'll find are a bit of a control freak. And having control and being able to make the cuts where you want them, as long as you can figure it out, puts you in a much, much better advantage when you're dealing with animals. I mean, sure, you can order steaks from somebody. You can order, you know, boned out shoulder, but until you get to do it yourself.
Yeah.
By the case, until you get to do it yourself, you don't really have the satisfaction and the control that you want. And it's also a great learning experience. I mean, every Wednesday we get the pig and a half, sometimes two pigs in, and people come in on their days off, people come in early, and they just want to learn. And it's a lot of fun to stand around. It's very communal.
How Jack, big are those pigs that you get?
Satisfaction and control, Jack. That's good tag.
Absolutely.
How big are those pigs that you get?
We try to shoot for 200, 220-pound pigs, mainly because a pig that size yields a really good chop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we're kind of shooting for the chop. That's the best cut of the pig that we can serve as an entree. All the rest goes to shoulder roasts, curing meats, sausages, and most importantly, probably the meatballs.
What part of the pig generates the most money for A16?
I'll say the chop.
In volume also? I mean, over the course of the...
Well, I mean, the meatballs, too. Because, you know, whereas a lot of people can't use a lot of scrap, we use all the trimmings, all the, you know...
You use the whole animal.
That aren't big cuts that you can't serve, you know, as a scallopini or as a chop. All that stuff goes into the meatballs and the sausage. And the meatballs are generally a lot of essentially leftover product. I mean, we use old bread. We use prosciutto scraps and the bones from the pig to make a broth to braise the meatballs in. You know, I mean, it's a lot of leftovers, but it's also one of our signature dishes. So we definitely generate a fair amount of revenue from those.
Well, the other thing, I mean, I wanted to ask is, I mean, how do other restaurants, I mean, are you guys unique in what you do? Like, what is there about, it's San Francisco and Italian food. I mean, what were some of the great Italian restaurants, like, culturally, historically, in the city of San Francisco?
Well, I mean, San Francisco has no shortage of great Italian restaurants. I mean, that's a fact. And there's a lot of Italian immigrants here. And, you know, there's the neighborhood of North Beach is sort of like our little Italy. You know, I think that in terms of Italian restaurants now, there's a greater movement towards regionality. Whereas before, a lot of people were doing greatest hits kind of things. You know, you could go to a restaurant, you can get carbonara, you could get eggplant parmigiano, you could get, you know, vitello tonnato, and it's sort of all over the place, all across the board. These days, people are looking to more specific regions for inspiration, and I think that having that kind of point of view and having that kind of... I mean, it's not so much restraint for me, but I think that some people could view it that way. It gives you a more solid foundation for what you're doing.
We just had Steve Jenkins on, you know, the big artisanal cheese guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was talking about that. It's not about pan-Italian.
No.
You don't say Italian. That's like crazy, you know?
I mean, we're even saying that we specialize in southern Italian food is pretty broad.
Yeah, because I mean, hill to hill, that stuff's different.
Exactly. And it's so regional there. It's crazy. I was, last year I was on the island of Ischia, just in the Bay of Naples. And the island is, you know, no bigger than the city of San Francisco. And you go inland, you know, 2 or 3 miles. I was up at this restaurant on a hill called Il Focolare. And it's literally 2 miles inland on an island, and they don't serve a lick of fish. Not even any fish. I mean, they say, why would we serve fish? We're mountain food. We're a mountain restaurant.
It's so funny how, like, regional... It's like, also, once this guy was trying to divide Italy in two, the north and the south, and I was like, where is that artificial equator drawn, you know.
And I wouldn't know. I mean, a lot of people talk about the butter belt and the oil belt. And
well, let me tell you, the answer that this friend of mine gave me was that that line is drawn at the first town south of you. So only the most northern town is like pure. Everyone That's else funny. Is like friggin' southerner.
Yeah.
So friggin' random. Yeah, it is so regional. So what do you have on the menu? Are you coming up with the fall menu, or do you change
we're
the menu every day?
We're starting to. You know, our season, we're still pretty much in summer. I mean, we're pretty well connected to a lot of local farms, and our menu, like a lot of people out here, is driven by what's available at the farms that we like to use. Mm-hmm. So tomatoes and peppers and eggplant and all that stuff is still very much alive here, but we're starting to see a little bit more bitter greens and squash and a little more of the fall vegetables. So yeah, I mean, we're definitely thinking towards transition, but it's not quite time yet. I get a little antsy towards the end of every season, and I start to think about, you know, what's coming next, but have to stay in the moment, you know?
Well, yeah, you're like everyone else, pulled by the tides, the moons, you know, seasons, all that.
Well, you know, I mean, people act like it's kind of a new movement to work with the seasons and be sustainable, but really it's the oldest trick in the book.
I know, it's the way it was up until like 40 years ago.
Exactly, it's crazy. I mean, it's sort of like a retro movement at this point.
Yeah, exactly, things have gotten so crazy. Also, you know, there's always the people talking about it, and then the other 278 million Americans, you know, they seem like what's going on in public schools in Iowa and New Mexico aren't always on the agenda. Sometimes it's just a bunch of infighting amongst two farmers markets or something.
Sure,
in
and Cleveland. It's easy for us to have this whole elitist worldview where, like, you know, everything's available to everybody. But here I am in California where everything really is available to me, not thinking of, you know, like you said, the middle schools in Iowa and what they're having for
Or you know, these environmental groups, they mean well, but they end up attacking a foie gras producer in Sonoma County that's raising 500 geese, you know, versus Purdue. That's where the crimes are happening. And, you know, you're certainly starting a movement. I mean, A16, I can say Carlo Petrini, founder of Slow Food, his favorite Italian meal outside of Italy was at A16. That is no small compliment. It makes unbelievably great pizzas. What's the pizza and kitchen dynamic there? Or do you guys always get along?
The pizza and what do you mean?
The pizza kitchen and the actual kitchen, they're kind
it's
of...
It's all one kitchen, Patrick. We got one big space.
One big space. And you guys are able to cohabitate even though you guys are doing different things?
Oh, it's not different at all. I mean, we don't see it that way. It's, you know, our kitchen's pretty unique. We've got two wood-fired ovens, and it's open to the restaurant. So, you know, it's kind of like a showcase. One of the ovens is for all the meats and all the hot appetizers, and the other one is exclusively for pizzas. So, you know, it's really... Everybody helps each other out, but the pizza guy gets his ass kicked a lot more than anybody else. You know?
Well, listen, Liza, I really want you to come back. I mean, I'm sure there's always be some update, something we could talk about. So hopefully this will be the first of many main course or Q report interviews with you. Well, thanks for being there.
Yeah, no problem. Have a great day, Patrick.
Bye, Liza.
Thank you.
So this has been an unbelievable show. I think this... I mean, I'm not one to exaggerate, but this might have been the best show in the history of all radio and media and all that. So.
Ever.
I'm including emails, website, funny website names. So, well, thanks so much, Gabe. You are a state trooper.
My chime-ins come in handy, I know.
It's really
good. Very
comforting. Very, very comforting. Your bosom is generous and ample.
I really appreciate that.
All right. Well, this has been the Q Report. Mark Marabella has been off for a couple of weeks.
He's back
next week. And he is having a baby. I mean, who knows? The baby will decide if he's back next week.
Certainly.
But he's planning to be. So very nice. And Katie and I had a great main course. It's been a great Sunday. Stay tuned for Cheese Cutting the Curd with Ann Saxelby at 3:30.